science.
In science this week, why did Neanderthals have such large noses? A new study suggests dinosaurs' diets wiped them out, and pasta can help you lose weight, apparently. Wow, really? Here to help me understand all of that is Joseph Milton from the Australian Science Media Centre. Welcome.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Good. So Neanderthals are our closest extinct relatives. They looked a lot like us, but one of the most visible distinctions were their protruding facial features. Joe, there's new research out about what their skulls. Talk me through it.
That's right. So we had thought that maybe they had those sort of big jaws and protruding faces because it gave them a good bite and that they were doing a lot of biting of things. But it looks like that's not the case based on this new research. This suggests that actually they had those facial features to help them hunt and thrive in a really cold climate. So what these researchers actually did was they took five skulls from Neanderthals and used them to scan them to build computer models and compare them with human skulls and also of an even more ancient ancestor of ours. And the first thing about that bite thing, they actually found that some modern humans have a stronger bite than Neanderthals. So it probably wasn't the reason for their facial features. But what they did find that was really interesting was that Neanderthals had a really big nasal passage, and that just allowed them to breathe much more air in, much more efficiently through their noses than we can. And they're suggesting that that would have been really handy if you were trying to, you know, chase down a mammoth or something like that.
It's pretty incredible. I've got to get to the dinosaur story. I can't shortchange it. There's a new theory behind the extinction of dinosaurs. It seemed they were doomed long before the asteroid hit. Tell me.
That's right. So this is a paper which is really a bit of sort of discussion and all quite hypothetical. So there's not sort of solid evidence to back up what these scientists are saying. But what they're suggesting is that it might not just have been the asteroid which struck Earth about 66 million years ago, but that the dinosaurs might actually have been doomed already because they were unable to be picky eaters. So what they're suggesting is that flowering plants, which in science we call angiosperms, they evolved before that asteroid hit. And a lot of them nowadays are quite toxic. What they're suggesting is that huge herbivorous dinosaurs, they wouldn't have been able to be selective, and they just kept on eating all these toxic plants and sort of severely diminished themselves before that asteroid even struck. So they were vulnerable, and the extinction probably stretched over a much longer period, and it wasn't all that kind of one bang moment of the asteroid.
But you caution us on this, though, because this research you said is quite theoretical. It's not based on, I mean, how seriously should I take it?
It's an interesting thought experiment. I don't think it's something you could ever really prove. And the evidence that they present is fairly sort of circumstantial, really. We don't know when toxicity evolved in the flowering plants, for one thing. So we don't know if it was around during that time. And also, we can't really be sure that dinosaurs didn't have the ability to avoid nasty toxic plants once they'd eaten them once. It's something that most mammals will do. You know, if they eat something and it makes them sick, they won't go back to that same thing. But some experiments on caimans have suggested caimans don't develop that same ability. And they're using that to say that maybe dinosaurs never did either. However, birds, you know, the kind of most prominent ancestor of dinosaurs, they can do that. They can distinguish and avoid foods that are nasty. Now, they're suggesting that it could have been more of a problem for those huge dinosaurs that had to eat enormous amounts of vegetation, and the smaller dinosaurs might have actually been more able to be picky, and that's why they survived the asteroid hit.
It's very fascinating. All right, we've got to get to this. I mean, this is, I just don't even know what to think of this. Now, we've been told basically for a long time now to fear carbs in an almost, I think, pathological way. You know, it's like, oh no, it's pasta, it's bread, you know, please throw it out. Don't put it near me. And now there's new research that suggests pasta may help people lose weight. How?
That's right. So what they did was they brought together kind of all the evidence that we have, all the existing studies that looked at people who eat pasta. They were only actually able to find studies that looked at people who ate pasta as part of a low glycemic index diet. So not kind of just out there in the general population. But when they compared the pasta eaters after about 12 weeks follow-up, they'd lost 0.63 kilograms more than those who had actually passed on pasta who didn't have any. And they also had lower BMIs. So what they're saying is that while they can't be 100% certain that pasta is going to make you lose weight, it probably shouldn't be demonized in the way that it has been. It tends to get lumped in with other carbs when you know people are talking about those kind of fatty, low-carb diets. But in fact, pasta has a low glycemic index. That means the body converts it into sugar slowly. But it's tended to be sort of lumped in with white bread, potatoes, white rice, things that have a high glycemic index. And that's probably why it's got this kind of unfair bad rep. But actually, it's pretty good for you.
So is this enough evidence for me to ensure tonight that I have a bowl of pasta?
I reckon you should. But you might not get away with just, you know, slathering it in butter, cream and bacon.
Oh, come on. That's how it tastes good.
I'm with Sophia Loren. She said, everything you see, I owe to spaghetti.
Thank you, Joseph. That's Joseph Milton from the Australian Science Media Centre.